So Shavuos, Taf Shin Ayin Hey, and the idea, the title of the shiur is Shmita and the Chazon Ish, a dream comes true. So last year we saw that Shmita, which was an idea that was a halacha that was not practiced on its full extent for almost 2,000 years, when people come back to Eretz Yisrael, and we saw that in 1888, 1889, the first Shemitah, and the whole story of the Heter Mechira, as we've seen, 1895 and 1903. In 1910, after the second Aliyah, the people came and there were a lot more kibbutzim, a lot more settlements. The question was how to implement Shemitah. And now you had people who are non-religious. And for them, Shemitah was not the question they came to ask. The question is what to establish and how to establish Shemitah at that time. So there were two schools of thought. One school of thought is Rav Kook. Rav Kook came in 1910. He writes the Shabbat Haaretz in 1 week. And in Shabbat Haaretz, he has divided in two portions. One of them is the Machshova point of it, meaning which is the ideas and ideology beforehand. And the other one is the Halochas. The Halochas are what and how to get the idea done. And his basic ideology is that Shemitah has to be done in three aspects. Number one, has to be economic. It has to be an economic model. Even though the Pasuk says that Tzivis is Birchosi, probably he means to say that the reason it has to be an economic model is because we know that Toises in Gittin already says Daflam Ezayin, why Shemitah Derabonan was Mesukan, because Chazal never instituted a Yovel Derabonan. So Toises says, because it's Gzeira Shina Tzibur Yechudim Lamedba. And the Sma explains on that, the Torah says Vitzivis is Birchosi. So the Sma says because there's no Brocha. Now the Chazon Ish agrees to that principle, and the Chazon Ish says that even though the Torah does give a Brocha, Vitzivis is Birchosi, but Birchosi is not a Avtocha. Birchosi means a Kribuch of Brocha, but it's not a promise. So you cannot institute Chazal when they come to institute a Shemitah, which is a Shemitah Drabonon or Yovel Drabonon, they cannot rely on a Brocha. They have to create something which is Bederech HaTeva, and then the Brocha comes above. So therefore, it has to be an economic model. When you establish Shemitah in Eretz Yisrael, it's a Shemitah Derabonan, has to be an economic model. So it says Rav Kook has to be an economic solution. Number two, Rav Kook says that if you have mitzvahs at Luyes Boretz, and you have something else which is called Virishte Moisa Vishavtem Bo, which is a mitzvah of Yishuv Eretz Yisrael. And the big question is, which one drives which? Is the mitzvah Yishuv Eretz Yisrael a enabler of mitzvahs at Luyes Boretz, but the mitzvahs at Luyes Boretz is the basis and the derivative, or the, I would say, the front entrance to it is mitzvahs Yishuv Eretz Yisrael, or just opposite? Mitzvahs Yishuv Eretz Yisrael is the primary driver. Mitzvahs at Luyes Boretz is, since Eretz Yisrael has a chashivus of the, what you call it, chashivus of its own, that's why Kodesh Boch gave mitzvahs. The primary is Yishuv Haaretz, and the secondary, or the derivative, is Mitzvahs at Luyes Boretz. So Rav Kook quotes the Kaftur Aferach. The Kaftur Aferach goes to explain that if there was Mitzvahs Yishuv Eretz Yisrael, and Eretz Yisrael has a Chashivus by the Ovis, before the Mitzvahs. So you see that the Chashivus of Eretz Yisrael is independent of the Mitzvahs. The Mitzvahs are a consequence, a derivative of the Kedusha. So says Rav Kook, if you have a contradiction between Mitzvahs Yishuv Eretz Yisrael and mitzvahs at Luyes Boretz, mitzvahs Yishuv Eretz Yisrael trumps mitzvahs at Luyes Boretz. So if you're going to say that kiyum of mitzvahs at Luyes Boretz, Shemitah, is going to cause people not to come to Eretz Yisrael and to take away Yishuv Haaretz is the most important. Number two. And the number three, which is implicit throughout Rav Kook, and that was many, many stories and part of the correspondence between him and the Ritvaz, it's clear one view of his. Although it's not so clear in Shabbat Haaretz, but that's his clear view. His clear view of Rav Kook is the following, that Shemitah has to be a global solution. It cannot be a solution that addresses part of the problem. You have to create, now you're reestablishing Shemitah that was never, was a halacha, was a sefer, and you're bringing it to reality. You've got to do it in a way which can address the entire global problem. And the truth is, there is reason to it. That's parenthetically my idea, because mitzvah Shemitah is a mitzvah that's tolon kol Yisrael, kol Yishvei Aleha. We know that Shemitah, the Rambam Shita is that Shemitah is that Trumas U'Maaseh are only the Raisa, if it was Bias Kulchem, if it was the conquer was done by Klal Yisrael as a whole. By Sheni was not, that's why it's the Shemitah, Trumas U'Maaseh is on the Rabbana. So everybody says, where does it say Bias Kulchem? Poshim Pshat is Chala. But Reb Chaim says the core of the Rambam is Afka by Shmita. It says Bevoyachem is Bias Kulchem, only when Klal Yisrael came together. So it's a mitzvah, that's a mitzvah that's done together, Klal Yisrael as a unit. If that's the case, it has to be a solution that solves everything. Rav Kook says we don't have a solution. And therefore, the only way, he says, listen, Heter Mechira, at least on a temporary basis, until we find a solution that's possible, Heter Mechira is the way to go, to sell the land to Goyim. At that time, there was a rov from Chicago in Tzvas, his name was the Ritvaz. The Ritvaz comes to argue with it vehemently. He comes, he writes a kuntres called the Halacha Lemaise, and he goes very against it. He against the Heter Mechira for many, many reasons. First of all, to take away a mitzvah. Second of all, is to sell to Goyim and all the issues. And he comes to argue with that. And his approach was that we have to raise money. That was basically, if you want to create an economic model, that was the economic model of the old issue, was raising money. So you raise money for Shemitah, and you raise money for the people who want to keep Shemitah. People who die anyway, most of the Haklaim didn't want to keep Shemitah anyway. So just give them money. It's not. So you don't need to find them a solution if they don't have the problem in the first place. So find the solution to whoever. Of course, so he wants to go to America. He needs a local mindset. In the first page, he says that people were complaining about him that this, what he's opening, is a schnorgeschäft. But he comes to explain why it's not. And this is necessary, this is the status, and this is the beginning of Keren HaShviis. And those are the two schools. The Kook holds that there is this wholesale Heter Mechira of Eretz Yisrael. The Ritvaz holds that the solution is to raise money for the people who want to keep Shemitah, it doesn't want. Now, according to the Ritvaz, where are you going to get food to eat? So you went and you bought from Goyim. Not you didn't sell to Goyim, from Goyim, both in Eretz Yisrael and in Chutz Loretz, which is the model till today. We have these two ideas. Either you hold that a Mechira, and that gets renewed every year, but it was now, originally, Rav Kook also says, he says on his Sefer and within his letters, which will be shown in the exhibit, Rav Kook says that it's a terrible thing that you're not keeping Shemitah. This is a way to remind us of Shemitah, Zecher to Shemitah, by selling, doing that a Mechira, but that's not Shemitah itself. And for sure, Rav Kook says clearly again on his letter that we libi dovai bekirbi, meaning my heart is painful that we don't keep the Shemitah. The Rav Arieli, who was the Inayim Lamishpat, he's Rav Moshe Arieli, my brother told me, Rav Moshe Arieli's grandfather. And he was very close, he was Chavrusa with Rav Kook for many, many years. And actually, he was the Meshgiach of Merkaz Harav, and he was a people of Merkaz Harav. So he was with Rav Kook in the last days. Rav Kook was very, very sick. He passed away in 1935. And he had Yenemachle, he had terrible sufferings. And Arieli, the Inayim Lamishpat, wrote the Anhogos of Rav Kook that he was able to witness when Rav Kook was sick. And it's an amazing, 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 amazing Anhogos in here. He was a very, very, very Kodajik Jew, and you see things which you've never seen before. But on those Anhogos, he says that Rav Kook was thinking to himself that the reason perhaps that he was suffering from so much was perhaps because he was to make a Shemitah. So you see that Rav Kook was very ambivalent, Soif Yomov, of this Heter Mechira, of not being able to find a solution. So this story continues. We know that the Chazon Ish comes to Eretz Yisrael in 1933, but he writes this first Sefer. Is the Sefer on Shviz, on the Shemitah of 1937. In 1937, he writes, and Rav Kook was already Nifter at that time, so the conversation on that Shemitah never took place, because one comes in 1933. He is indeed somebody, and that my brother Lo told me, that there are many correspondence between the Chazon Ish and Rav Kook. And somebody wrote a Sefer called Ben Chazon Lireiya, because Rav Kook is called Reiya, Ravom Yitzchak von Kook, and the Chazon Ish, the Chazon Lereiya. And those are the letters, because the Rav Chaim Oizer, when he writes about Ori Ola Mibovel, the famous letter that he was announcing who's coming, who's the Chazon Ish, the people didn't know the Chazon Ish is coming, was to Rav Kook. That was the letter that he sent to Rav Kook. Ori Ola Mibovel. So the kids are his safer, he issues. He goes vehemently against the Heter Mechira. And now it goes vehemently. He doesn't quote Rav Kook by name. So people say, Ari Drey in Tel Aviv University, you say the reason he doesn't quote by name because he didn't hold that he was a Bar Plukta. Who is Rav Kook? Like almost dismissive. although we know that Rav Kook and Chazon Ish did have a relationship. From the Nu and the exhibit to show that that's not the case, that that Chazon Ish actually wrote on Shabbat Haaretz, on the first part of Shabbat Haaretz, he brings and he quotes in his own handwriting all the places that Rav Kook actually agrees with him. So I think the answer is very simple, that he thought that he doesn't want to argue with Rav Kook because it's not Rav Kook. Rav Kook agreed with him. The only issue is that Rav Kook did not find the solution. And the Chazon Ish, through his learning and rereading all the sources, the Chazon Ish was unbelievable. I just saw another story from the Chazon Ish, I have to tell you. And that's, I think, my brother-in-law, no, the one who mentioned to me was Rabbi Horowitz. That Rabbi Yosef was a little dismissive of the Chazon Ish. Why? Because he says, I went to the Chazon Ish, say, Chazon Ish is a poisek. I looked at his bookshelf, he didn't even have a true Chassam Sofer. Because Rabbi Yosef was the one who passed from Achroinim, but he didn't realize that the Chazon Ish worked through the Gemaras and the Rishonim, and he passed from there. He reinterpreted all this for him. He was mamish like, I think Rabbi Aaron Kotler helped, maybe Rabbi Aaron, or somebody held that he had at the end of the Groh. No, the one who says this on the Groh, let me just correct myself, is Rabbi Chil Yaakov Weimer, the Sridi Hirsch, writes that the Chazon Ish is the Groh of the generation. But so the Rabbi Yosef never helped him, that he realized, he thought that he goes from the Achroinim, but the truth is he doesn't go for the Achroinim, he went to Mamish the Rishonim, he learned like a Rishon. So the Chazon Ish says, and the Chazon Ish takes Shemitah to a Mamish warpath. And this becomes the mitzvah of the Chazon Ish, that he becomes so involved with it. And even the Talmid of Chazon Ish, which I'm Mamshich Darko, like what you called, like Reb Chaim Kanievsky, for the last 2 years, if anybody goes to any need, Reb Chaim Kanievsky always says go to Shemitah. And the reason is very simple. I even spoke to Ben Zion Kugler, the head of Keren HaShviis. Why was the Chazon Ish and Reb Chaim Kanievsky so involved? They asked him, is a Shemitah the mitzvah de Rabbanan? Why are you making such a big thing? Meaning Shabbos you don't make. He says, because we came to a situation that the mitzvahs are not doable. And that can be. The Kodesh Boko gave a mitzvah that's not doable. And the Chazon Ish comes to make a system. He imagines a system that Lemaisa was never put into practice. And this year was the first year that the Chazon Ish model of Shemitah was put into practice. So the Chazon Ish model into practice was never put into practice because Chazon Ish died, I think, 52, 53, and the year before or something like that was Shemitah. And because this Shemitah, this model, is only possible in a national scale, which was only possible when Israel was a state. And in the beginning, the first Shemitah was in the middle of the independence war, not even right after the independence war. The Chazon Ish was already old, so it was not Shaykh. So the Chazon Ish never put it into place. It's the first year, the view and the world, the Chazon Ish dreamed the whole system that was never the mindset put into place. And Baruch Hashem, this year was put into place and is a solution that actually can revolutionize Israel. And it's something which is accepted by the farmers, by the consumers, by the religious, by the non-religious, by the Haredim. Chazon Ish was a true visionary. I think that Rav Kolitz wrote a biography in the Chazon Ish, which is called the Chose Milita. He was like the Chose Milublin, he was the Chose Milublin Milita. He was the visionary, and I think you see that by the Shemitah. And the first issue is you have to know that on the issues of Shemitah, Rav Chazon Ish is extremely makel, and much more than Rav Kook. He was used to say that on the video of Rav Nissim, you see, that's I heard from Rav Efrati, Eshaser hasarta hitarti, vesher hitarta asarti. We said, HaKadosh Baruch Hu, do what you're matir, I asked, do what you ask your matir. That's a video. So Chazon Ish was to say, one second, Asher hitarta asarti, meaning whatever you say you asked, I was matir, that makes sense to say a video, but Asher hitarta asarti, what you're matir, I asked, what's wrong with that? Says Chazon Ish, talk about Shemitah. Because that's where Rav Kook went. What was mutar, you made also. What you said is mutar, I made it also. And therefore, I couldn't keep Shemitah, and I had to matir what you answered. So Chazon Ish says, and he rereads all the texts, and he comes to the model, which is doable, and all the coolest. The Rav Kalman Kana asked him, that I have heard a bit from Rabbi Efrati, who I think he heard from Rabbi Yoshi, that he asked Kalman Kana, I think maybe he printed it, he asked him, as a Chazon Ish, you have all these coolers. What happens when Klal Yisrael becomes very frum and people want to be machmir? Do you want to change your chumras? says until Mashiach ad kiyor v'shiloi, you don't have to change. This is the psak and this is the halacha. And he says shmita will not be the rice until Mashiach anyway, because you, even if Roy Visol come back and the Shteras Hashvotim, they find them and they come back, still shmita will not be the rice because you need a new goyro. And until you have a new goyro, that will not be shmita the rice. So that's the Chazon Ish, and the Chazon Ish creates his extremely makal, but he creates a system which is doable. And we'll see what it is. So the first issue is the Gemara. The Gemara that given in Medkotan says, we always think that all the melachas are asur, but it's not. We know that there are four melachas written in Torah. We have Zibira, Zriya, Zmira, Ktsira, and Betzira. And the Charisha is only a Isures, it's a totally different Shaila. But the Lavim of Shmita is Ktsira, Betzira, what you call it? Zriya, Zmira, Ktsira, and Betzira. So the melacha like Rava. Rava holds it. So this, only these, Zriya is an Av, what you call it, Zmir is a Tolda. Ktsir is an Av, Betzir is a Tolda. Why the Torah quotes these two Toldas? To tell you that only these two Toldas are Asur. All the other Toldas are not also Minatoira. So Minatoira, what Asur is only Zriya, Zmira, Betzir, and Ktsir. All the other Halochas, except for Harisha, that is a Bachorish, Bakotzer, Tishbut, that's Bachloik, as if it's an S or not. But all the other malachas, minatoira, they are mutar. So you could do, you could pesticide and fertilize and water, it's all mutar. It's only osur b'drabonan. So that word of Gimel says, Chazal, only asur b'drabonan, if it's levrui ilona, if it's going to improve the trees. If you're trying to improve it, that's osur b'drabonan. But like yume ilona, to maintain the ilan, to maintain the fields, you're allowed to do the melachas. You could water, you could pesticide, you could do everything else besides the melachas as well as minatoira. The chidra chazon ish is mechadesh that you don't need only to likyu meilana. You could do even likyu meipera. You could do melachas, except for those also, even to maintain the fruit, even to allow the fruit not to be destroyed. So that is something unbelievable. So you could do malachas, you could do work. You could work as long as you're not improving, and to maintain the fruits and to maintain the produce, you are allowed to do. Now, the question everybody asks the Chazon Ish, one second, if the pera is a hefker, it belongs to nobody, how can you say likumi pera? The pera don't belong to anybody. But the answer is very simple, because the pears belong, the hefker or shviz is different than the other hefker. Rabbi Sholim Diskin already says that, because Rabbi Sholim Diskin asks this question. He asks, how is it possible when he's a goyis? In the end of the Sefer, he asks, how is that possible? How can you go ahead and do melachas likumi pera if it's hefker? He says, because the hefker of shviz is different than any other hefker. The hefker of shviz is not that it belongs to nobody, it belongs to the klal as a unit. It's a bylaws of klal Yisrael. So it belongs to klal Yisrael, you could rescue that much more to rescue from them. And one of the rais, the people bring tons of rais. Rav Shach, I think, brings a raya from Pirusha Mishnayis. Even Rav Shach was somebody, quotes a raya that's brought in the Imris Avrom. Imris Avrom quotes the raya that the Rambam Pirusha Mishnayis holds that a person quotes Ilon Ishviz is Gezel Arabim. So one second, it's Hefker. Why is it Gezel Arabim? Elamai, because it belongs to the Rabim. It's Kahina Vekahina, the many, many, many rayas. So that's the first thing. So the idea is that you could do melachas. You could do melachas likyu meilon. Now, when the Torah says you're not allowed to harvest, already the Sifra, the Baruch Halacha says, for sure you're allowed to harvest. What does that mean? The Torah says le'ochla. Elamai, you can only harvest, says it, Sifra, you cannot harvest keder habaylim. You cannot harvest as an owner. Shita Saramba means that you cannot harvest as an owner, which it means dash boker aroma screaming, you cannot create piles, you cannot store it, and you cannot act as an owner. The halacha is, even midrabanan, you are not allowed to, when you go harvest, you cannot harvest more than a certain amount, even if you're harvesting somebody else's field, because you're doing as an individual. You're not allowed to act as a bailim. The shitas agro is that you have to do beshinui, even when you go harvest, to show that you're not the owner, you have to do beshinui, even when it's not your own field. The shita sagro. You have to do beshinui. It's mikvah chloikes. But the idea is not to do kedera chabailin. The chidush Chazon Ish is based on the Tosefta. The Tosefta says, perek vov, if I'm not mistaken, of shviz, the barishoina, originally what they did was they established a Beis Din, and the Beis Din would go ahead and collect and gather from everybody, and they would store it. And actually, the Ramban quotes in Chumash that they would go ahead and they would pay people to do that, all the costs associated. And it's not shown the Ramban even there's no Bior. The bottom line is, state Mechazanish, if you do it in a way that you're not doing as an individual, you're doing as a collective, you're doing on behalf of Klal Yisrael, which is through a Beis Din, that was the Anhag already, said the Shmita. Even the Goyim Machloikes are showing him how to learn that Tosefta. But says the Chazon Ish, the Posh Pshat is like the Rash that they did on Peiros Shviis. That on Peiros Shviis, you could go and gather fruits and vegetables as a community. You go and you gather, and all the halachas that prohibit acting as a bialim don't apply, because you apply the what's prohibited, what's precluded is acting as an individual owner, as a communal owner. There's no problem, which means that the Shemitah in essence is telling you that Klal Yisrael, right, at least on the agricultural part of it, which is Eretz Yisrael, it is capitalistic for 6 years. 1 year is communist. They cannot do as an individual, you have to do as a community. And what you could do is the Beis Din can go and the Beis Din can harvest normally, they can store, they can pile, and they can actually maintain the fields, doing whatever it takes, as long as not the Melachas Asuras, and they can run actually the field as in a normal year, but not as an individual. He cannot make any profit. It has to be at cost. But you could pay actually for the farmer all his expenses. You could pay his water expenses, his pesticide expenses. You could give him his salary. You could even give him a little more than his salary. But you could actually run as it is on behalf of the community. 6 years capitalist, 1 year communist. And the Chazon Ish says, so then you could go ahead and you could run it exactly normally. And you could go ahead and sell for the cost, and there is no loss for anybody, for the farm or for anybody else. And the Chazon Ish comes to add also, the question is, can you do vegetables? Because vegetables, the question is it a loch of svichim? And that's a machloik, is the Rambam and the Rash. The Rambam holds that all the vegetables are a loch of svichim. The Rash, or the Chazon Ish, learns, as long as they sprouted before, as long as they were something called the Nivut before Rosh Hashanah, then there's no din of svichim. And so then it allows you to do even vegetables. You could plant beforehand, and you could maintain during Shemitah, you could maintain in greenhouses, you could water, you could pesticide, so you could have vegetables basically for the whole year. Not the whole year, but at least 8 months of the year. So it allows you to keep vegetables and to grow vegetables. Now, if you hold like Reb Shlomo Zalman is interesting, he argued the Chazon Ish Pshat, and he held that he can't. Any of those vegetables who don't have any trunks, anything that they grow from Adam that you plant and they just start, he didn't think that was Pshat in the Rash. The Rash on Abi Matir. But even he himself, he says, the Kfar Hoy Razak, Lemain Se, I would never answer because the Chazon Ish is already Matir. So once the Chazon Ish is Matir, Chazon Ish was very makel. Was makel on the halachas of how to understand the Beis Din. Was very, very makel understanding all the halachas of vegetables, meaning what is svichim. So the Ra and the Hish Lishitos he holds. And the truth is, if you learn the Rash inside this Taina, the Chazon Ish, there's a very famous machloik, what you call it, response between Kam and Kana, which was the Chazon Ish's Talmud, and Reb Shlomo Zalman, the Gabi Depshat, but Kfar Hoy Razokin, that as long as there is Divut, as long as it sprouts before Shviz, there's no Halach of Svichin. Now, the other Chiddush of the Chazon Ish is also, to be able to create a Oitza Beis Din, you need to do it. So the Chazon Ish understood, has to be in an economic format to allow the Chaklaim to do it. And you can't Soivich Bala Neis, because the Brocha is a Neis, and the Brocha is not Avtocha. So you can't rely, so you have to do it in an economic model. But the Chazon Ish issue is that they allow the model that creates, that's a global solution. Because the Chazon Ish, even the question is, can you distribute to non-frum consumers that might not be able to go ahead and do Ilchoy Shemitah? So the Chazon Ish has been accurate, the Tosefta quotes, it's not even brought in the Rambam, the Tosefta quotes, that Choshed al Shviis, you don't give him more than Mozor Shol Seudas, but Dovah Sheinu Miskayim, you could give as much as possible. So the Chazon Ish asks, if the issue is that he might throw it in the garbage, that it might do Kedusha Shviz, if it's eight Dovah Sheinu Miskayim, it's even worse. So the Chazon Ish says, Elamai, you have to say that Chazal were only Choshesh for the Halacha of Schoira, for the idea that he won't be noyeh kedusha shviyis, they weren't. So they used to be favored. That's why Dovah Shenu is kind that he can't do schoira is mutar. Now in Chazonish somewhere else already explains the reason for it also is because here, if you do be noyeh kedusha shviyis or not, and he's talking about the idea that if somebody comes to Mishnah that says that when you go and you come with big kalim, so there's a chashash that you are going to store more and not allowed to store. But since it's a sofik, Chazonish says it's mutar. All these cases of sofik is mutar. Why? Because if you, Chazal saw that if you don't give them, you are going to be over bevada of lotisnach sachicha belvavecha, you create machloikes bevadai. And to be matzel from a sofik isur, ain't sofik moitzi bidevadai. And Chachomi beruach kosher decided what's enough of a sofik to try to that. That justifies machloikis, that justifies sina, and what don't justify sina. So here Chazal clearly did not think that the sofek that you might throw it in the garbage would justify not giving to anamuta choshen washviz. So you see, befeir that you could do it. And the truth is, the kabbalah of the Chazonish is that Oitza Bezdin is even more. You don't even have to come to the Tosefta because the Oitza Bezdin is a shliach of the tzibur. So it's not that you're giving to a choshu, it's his. So you're giving back what is his. The Och Tosefta might be talking. That's what coming. If you have your own that you bought it in your house, can you give it to him afterwards? That's a separate issue, and that's a Chazon Ish to saw. But if it's a Beis Din, it belongs to the Tzibur. So you're giving the day. You're not giving something new to him. So then you could create a Shemitah, which is which really is a global solution, not only for all the farmers, not only a system that allows in Eretz Yisrael, is a system that allows everybody to partake. So this is the Chazon Ish's model of an economic idea. And this idea is so relevant to us, this model of the Chazon Ish, because not only is doable, it's actually desirable. Because in a world like today that we live, that Thomas Piketty already brought down in the capital of the 21st century, that the biggest issue in the world is the income gap between the haves and the have-nots. Because capital is growing much faster than the economy is growing. So a salaried employee's growth and wealth is going much slower than somebody who has capital, as you could see from Apple, that I can make more money than Steve Jobs that came up with the idea because he has the capital. Shemitah is the answer to it. The motto of the Chazon Ish is the Shemitah is a year that the farmer and anybody else can get paid for their labor. They cannot get paid for their capital. It's a year that capital belongs to everybody. So not only does it create an equality, an equanimity between everybody, it creates a situation that capital actually belongs to everybody. Capital grows back to a communist model. And everybody is a worker, so the owner of the field works as a worker. And that's a givaldic thing that you go and you bring back, is like a reset moment to bring back labor back to capital, to bring them closer together. And it's dafka by Eretz Yisrael. First of all, Eretz Yisrael, because Eretz Yisrael is a domos of HaKadosh Baruch Hu that he gave to us. But it's even more. The land, the fruits of the land, is something that is shovel akol. I mean, in such a model, HaKadosh Baruch Hu never made such a model in food, in what you call it, in milk products, or in meat products, or anything else, because it's not shovel akol. Some people eat meat, some people don't. But the produce of the land, everybody eats. Mm-hmm. So this is a place where you could see and you bring back, in the basic core of Adam, you bring back something which is a model that is viable, it's monetarily and commercially viable, but not only that, it's socially desirable. It's a model that makes sense, that brings the world back together, that for 1 year, the fruits and vegetables, everything that grows from the land doesn't get paid for because it belongs to everybody, only labor gets paid. And that model, Chazonish, he imagined, that it never came to fruition. This is the first year, Baruch Hashem, that's coming to fruition. Hopefully, Hashem, this will be the model, which will be the driver in Eretz Yisrael in the next meetup.